This looks like a clinic on how not to do things on the baseball field.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Big Y Grocery Stores, T-Mobile, Needham Bank, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Jordan's Furniture, Integrity from Marvin Windows and Doors, TestTrips.com, Acura of Auburn, Anderson McQuay, Direct Federal Credit Union, Gravely Lawnmowers, AceTicket.com, WFXT-TV, and Mohegan Sun. Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, welcome into the Baseball Reporters here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. It's Big Jim Murray in once again for the vacationing Tony Maserati. Maz will be back tomorrow, though, and for the rest of the week. But you got me one more night here tonight, manning the ship, along with Matt McCarthy, who, if you haven't listened to yet, he is the host of Hardcore Baseball, the baseball podcast on 98.5thesportshub.com, and also available on the app, which is a free download at on your iPhone or Android device. And you're also writing. You're now contributing more to 98.5thesportshub.com, correct?
Yes.
Is it all baseball stuff or just all over the place?
Predominantly baseball, but excellent. Whatever happens, I will write about.
All right. Well, McCarthy, a couple of things right off the top here. The Red Sox, as you heard in the Hub headlines with Matt, back in action tonight, back home as they welcome in the Texas Rangers, another bad team. I make no apologies now for holding that against the Red Sox. They are the best team in Major League Baseball, 62-29, after they complete the sweep of the Royals this weekend. They finished their nine-game road trip 7-2, now 33 games over .500. But as I said, they have another wretched, unwatchable team coming in tonight with the Texas Rangers for the first of three. And I actually started saying it half-jokingly, just to maybe get a rise out of people. It's what we tend to do here in sports radio, that I put just a wee little asterisk on this Red Sox record. As they got to game 81 about a week ago when I was filling in for Mavs. But now, more than ever, I make no apologies for it. It's real. It's not Bridgie Celtics of a couple of years ago, big asterisk, but it's just we, because I can't take the competition seriously. And, all right, fine, that's me. I'm just, a radio guy with an opinion here. What happens when baseball loses real, hardcore baseball people, like Matt McCarthy, who hosts Hardcore Baseball? What happens when you lose hardcore baseball people? Correct me if I'm wrong, Matt. I think Dan's a BBWAA member?
Oh, yeah. Hall of Fame voter. I mean, he's covered baseball.
I think he's number 11.
Jeez. Okay, yeah. So he's entrenched in the
BBWAA.
He's
a Hall of Famer.
That's right. Mm-hmm. He's in the Baseball Hall of Fame. He's in Cooperstown.
I saw his plaque recently.
When you lose a Baseball Hall of Famer in Dan Shaughnessy, your sport has problems. And the 62-29, it's weighted. And I can't take this team seriously until maybe this next Yankee series at the beginning of August or until October. And if you want to disagree, please, love to hear from you at 617-779-0985. Jimmy Stewart, Billy Laney behind the glass. You can open up the phone lines again, 617-779-0985. Here's what I'm getting at. Dan Shaughnessy, brilliant column. And, to paraphrase Felger, he said it before, and I agree completely. For all the flack that Dan has taken over the years here, writing for the Globe in this city, the city needs Dan Shaughnessy. We do. Mm-hmm. And when he's on, he's still, he's one of the best.
98 with movement on the black.
And,
untouchable.
We're talking like Pedro 99 type stuff. And this column yesterday that posted up on thebostonglobe.com and was in today's paper from Dan Shaughnessy: the Red Sox may be red hot, but baseball is striking out in every way. This is Dan being Pedro 99-esque. The Red Sox Sunday completed their three-game sweep of the Kansas City Royals. Aggregate score, Boston 32, Kansas City 13. Red Sox now 62-29, 33 games over .500. Royals have lost 9 straight and 27 of 31. Kansas City 39 games under .500. Now, you were with me a bunch last week, Matt. I knew they were bad, that Royals team, but we really looked at some of the numbers. Like, they're going to be they're on pace to be historically bad.
One of the worst teams in the history of baseball. Like, in the live ball era, they're going to be one of the top three or four worst teams ever in the game if they keep this up.
Worst run differential in Major League Baseball this year. But Dan goes on to write, the Sox come home tonight and get to play the last place Rangers for the next three nights. Then we'll get a weekend look at the moribund Blue Jays, who are 20 games out of first place. Can't wait for that, too. On and on it goes, meaningless game after meaningless game, as the Red Sox put up cartoonish numbers while we wait for the real games to start in October. So much winning. Whoop-dee-doo. This was vindication for me, Matt. Like, when I read this, I was like, okay, I'm not just being an a-hole that's bored by a lot of the lack of competition that the Red Sox are going up against. And again, I've said it before, please don't take this as me bashing the Red Sox. They're an excellent team. They're one of the top three teams in the American League. J.D. Martinez couldn't have been more wrong on. Like, they mash. Like, they're a legit good team, but they're not as good as their record. They're not. And this vindicates me from Dan's in the Hall of Fame. Dan's in the Baseball Hall of Fame. Dan loves baseball. Dan will die on the hill of refusing to vote for steroid users, your Barry Bonds, your Roger Clemens. He's not going to do it. I might be wrong about the Clemens side, but I know Barry Bonds. Like, he won't. He's not going to do that. The game means something to Dan Shaughnessy. And he sounds like he's like tapped out. And this, to me, after I read this, is like, it's not just me. When the game is starting to lose people like Dan Shaughnessy and Hugh McCarthy, like, there's a serious problem. But just in terms of the Red Sox, I don't know. Am I an a-hole for putting an asterisk on these 62 wins? Because I don't think I am.
No. And honestly, you can put an asterisk on the Yankees and the Astros, too, to a certain extent. Like, the Astros are a great team, defending World Series champion. Are they 31 games over 500 good? Like, that's absurd at this time of the year. The Red Sox are 33 games. The Yankees are 29 games over 500. The Red Sox, the Yankees, and the Astros are beating up on one of the worst American leagues ever. Not only do you have one team that's going to be historically bad, the Orioles are going to be historically bad, too. This is one of the worst products that the American League has ever put out, dating back to 1901 when the American League was founded. That's how bad it is. And the Red Sox have been the biggest benefactor of that.
Again, welcome into the Baseball Reporters, everybody. A show that's nonstop baseball for 60 minutes as we spend the first 12 minutes bashing the sport. But this is all based on Dan Shaughnessy's column in the Boston Globe today. And there were some striking numbers in this, too, as he goes on to write, there's too many non-competitive games, too many strikeouts, not enough balls in play. Baseball stars increasingly anonymous. This is maybe the most damning thing as I scroll down here. Pace of play. Pace of play has made the game largely unwatchable on television. Tom Verducci recently put his stopwatch to work and calculated that the average time between balls in play is 3 minutes 45 seconds. Oh, this is unacceptable. It is killing the sport. There is simply not enough action. Strikeout inflation, also a big part of the problem. I have grown to hate strikeouts. Strikeout used to be a measure of a pitcher's dominance, not anymore. Everybody strikes out all the time. A 10-strikeout effort by a starting pitcher is no longer a big deal. For the first time in history, baseball features more strikeouts than hits. This will be the 11th consecutive season in which Major League Baseball sets a record for strikeouts. Whoop-de-bloody-do. Now, I don't really want to make this more about, like, well, how do we fix the game? Because, look, I mean, the game, unfortunately, one of the things that's always going to plague it, to me, Matt, is that, you know, it's run by stubborn people, the players. And we'll get to this. There's proof of this in this column, too. The players don't want to change. They actually don't even think that there's a problem. But there are little tweaks that can continue to be made to speed it up. I think you should, that Rob Manfred and the Players Association should come to the table and have a real discussion about the shift, which I think should be banned from the sport. But there needs to be an incentive to get these guys to put the ball in play more and make it more palatable. Because, all right, the hell with me. You might lose me because I'm in my 40s now. Maybe I don't care about it the way I used to, even 5 years ago. But you're still going to want to get new and young eyes on this sport. And if it continues like this, you're not going to get those viewers.
Everything Dan says in this article is true. It's 100% true. And you know how much that pains me, Jim, because I love baseball, you know, just as much as Dan or the people who truly love the game. I'm right there in with him.
For people that don't know, just real quick, that don't know Matt's background, it's not just that he hosts the Hardcore Baseball podcast and writes about baseball for 98.5 The Sports Hub. You were both a play-by-play and color man for the Portland Sea Dogs. You're the type of guy that goes to Cape League games.
Like Dan Roach.
This is your sport.
Yeah, it is.
A tear comes into your eye when you talk baseball, typically.
Oh, my God. You want to talk about Pedro Martinez or anything? I mean, I will, you know, geek out over this. And everything that he says in this article is true. And that pains me.
Yeah,
but you know you've got an issue with this sport that and it's a confluence of issues: pace of play, strikeouts, regular season too long. I mean, there's so many things going on with the game. But this year, you've added the competition factor too, and you've got an historically bad level of competition in the game, and that's absolutely killing it.
All right, so there's a few other things I want to get to here in the remaining 45 minutes of the Baseball Reporters tonight, you know, actual baseball stuff, including the return of Tyler Thornburg, finally, who made his Red Sox debut over the weekend against Kansas City. Kind of shaky. Want to get to that. Sounds like David Price is not going to be opting out. Want to get your thoughts on that. And we'll continue with this conversation. Look, 62 wins, they're a legit team, and they're a World Series contender. But I just wonder if you look at it as a bit weighted like I do. The 62 wins, it comes with an asterisk for me. It does. Because of the lack of competition. And the sport is down. So your thoughts on that at 617-779-0985. We're off and running. We have one open line if you'd like to join us. It's Jim Murray here in for Maz on the Baseball Reporters on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
We have the Sox covered. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5 The Sports Hub. We have the Sox covered. This is the Baseball Reporters. Tony Mazzarotta, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Welcome back to the Baseball Reporters. Jim Murray in once again for Tony Mazzarotti tonight. Got Matt McCarthy alongside as well. And you at 617-779-0985. Opened up in that first segment mostly talking about Dan Shaughnessy's brilliant column in the Boston Globe. Posted last night on the website, but in the paper today. Red Sox may be red hot, but baseball is striking out in every way. You're losing Dan Shaughnessy. He's in Cooperstown. The sport's got a problem. And as I mentioned earlier, you know, one of the things I think they're going to have a hard time with here is, well, changing, because so many of those involved in Major League Baseball are adverse to change, namely the players. And this was the most damning thing in this column today that Dan wrote. USA Today recently pulled 63 big leaguers, and the results demonstrated a stunning lack of awareness. Players evidently do not believe that today's strikeout glut or the snail-like pace of play present any problem. More than half the players polled said they were unconcerned about a game that now primarily features walks, strikeouts, and home runs. 93% of those who responded believe the lack of action is okay. Asked if pace of play changes are working, one player remarked, quote, assumes there was a problem in the first place, end quote. Whew. That is just dripping with a lack of self-awareness, and I can't say I'm all that surprised at the risk of sounding like I'm piling on the sport too much, because I still do enjoy it. Do I enjoy it the way I did as a kid? Absolutely not. But they're the worst pro athletes to deal with, Matt. Maybe it's different in Double A, and you know, when you worked for the Sea Dogs, you know, there's a little bit more hunger and humility there. It's not even close. Like, it's NHL players at the top, hockey players, you know, a lot of Canadians. There's inherent niceness there. So Canadian, like NHL players, and then I think you get a lot of down-to-earth dudes in football. And there's a big drop-off to basketball, and then there's an even bigger drop-off to major leaguers. Man, they are just coddled children. It's a kid's game, and they never grow up. And they have guaranteed contracts, and that's why you hear things like, it assumes there was a problem with the game in the first place. You a-hole. Like, how do you not take the temperature of the room and see what's happening around you? Like, things need to change here.
Well, baseball would already have a pitch clock if it weren't for the players' union. They've held back on that. I mean, Rob Manfred, for what you want to say about Rob Manfred, he gets it. He gets that the game has problems and he's trying to change them. We would have a pitch clock in baseball if it weren't for the players' union at this point. And if you're Rob Manfred at this point, you need to unilaterally make that decision, implement the pitch clock. And Jim, if I'm saying implement the pitch clock, I mean, I am Mr. Old-Time Baseball. Yep. I want the pitcher hitting. I love my double switches. I want sacrifice bunts. Like, if I am saying put the pitch clock in the game, then you know it needs it. If I'm accepting that change, you know it needs it. But the players can't figure this out. I mean, it's unbelievable to me. It is.
All right, to the phones we go. James in Reading, you're first up here on the Baseball Reporters tonight. Hey, James.
Hey, Jim. Yeah, I agree with you on the record thing. I'm just, do people think that they're good, like, right now? Like, I feel like they're kind of just skating their way into it. And I think that series with New York really exposed Erod and Price. I think Sale shined, and then Erod and Price. You know, they don't feel like it's not really the buzz around town.
Without question, it's not. Jimmy Stewart said it earlier on Felger and Maz. I got to say, you mentioned Patriots. I could leave the room and put a roll of paper towels in front of the microphone and would still get calls. It's It's a Patriots town now. And then with the Celtics offseason stuff and the nuttiness going on with that team and Marcus Smart, if he's going to be back, and is Kyrie going to jet to New York next summer? Like, there's more to talk about there, and there's more interest. Because those teams maybe, well, look, I mean, the Patriots are now, I think, almost become, at least in terms of the last decade or so, more story than the Red Sox, despite their championships. But, you know, there's no buzz. And I think the caller was right, Matt, and there's more to take out of that series against the Yankees, them losing 2 out of 3 in New York, and the way that it looked, with them getting their ass kicked in those losses, and David Price puking all over himself and imploding to the tune of 5 home runs early on the Sunday night game, than you can out of these last two series sweeps. What am I supposed to take out of this?
Nothing. You're not supposed to take anything out of it. They're beating up on the Kansas City Royals and teams like that. The problem is, Jim, the players that they need to count on in October are historically not good in October. David Price, Rick Porcello, they don't have a single starter who has won a game in the postseason. Look at it this way. If the Red Sox had John Lester on this team instead of David Price, you would feel much differently about their chances to win a World Series. If it were Chris Sale and John Lester at the top of your rotation, you're saying, go out and get that bullpen arm because that's the piece we need to win the World Series. But no, it's Chris Sale and David Price, and you're not saying that. You'll say, okay, go get a bullpen arm. You'll still lose in the first round. That's the difference. That's the difference right there. People can't buy in on this team because they feel that they are doomed to failure.
Let's go to Chris in Hyde Park. You're next during the Baseball Reporters. Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys.
What's up?
I wanted to talk about the lack of competition in the AL, and I totally agree with you and Dan what you guys were saying. But I think that's how you have to build a championship team nowadays in baseball. I mean, you saw Kansas City do it a few years ago. Houston did it a while ago. Chicago did it. I mean, it keeps happening year in and year out. I think you have to build your farm system, suck for a while, and then when all those kids come up, spend some money in free agency, and I think that's the formula to winning nowadays. I want to hear what you guys think about that.
So, Matt, talk to me about tanking in baseball, because it feels somewhat rampant. I mean, this is what's going on with the Pittsburgh Pirates. It feels like this is what's going on with the Baltimore Orioles, and they have yet to sell off on Manny Machado or Zach Britton or any of those kinds of players. And the caller's right. It's worked in recent years for the slow build for the Houston Astros and the way that Theo has built up the Chicago Cubs. But I don't know. Is there something else going on in the league where it's being disguised as tanking, where, you know, the Marlins are just there raking in whatever money that they can in terms of, you know, TV deals and whatnot, and they're not looking to get better at all?
Yeah, it's a complete ruse. Tanking is a complete ruse in baseball because, yes, building through the farm system is arguably the most successful way to build a competitor and build a winner in baseball. The Astros, the Cubs, all of those teams are perfect examples of that. However, right, Jim, you have teams right now that are not only tanking, they're trading their established big league players for rookie, you know, for young players, for prospects, which, of course, I mean, you should do. That's, you know, it's the wheel. It's the wheel of success. And if you're not going to compete, well, okay, then trade those guys off and get young players. The problem is these teams are not spending money. They're not being competitive in free agency to at least field a competitive ball club. The Tampa Bay Rays are the perfect example of that. They were trying to tank. They've actually been better than they thought they were going to be. They sold off their pieces this offseason. Evan Longoria, they traded him off. But they're also doing things like not going out and buying free agents or acquiring free agents, spending that money, designating guys like Corey Dickerson for assignment, who was an all-star last year. You're deliberately trying to get worse while not spending the money at the same time, and that is how you end up with teams like the Baltimore Orioles, the Kansas City Royals. Sure, you can build through the farm system, but you at least need to field a competitive major league product, which you can do by essentially just spending a little money in free agent, not even that much. Just spend a little money in free agency and you'll field an okay unit and you'll be a wagon 3 years from now when all those prospects hit.
You know who's going to be a good example to watch with everything you just said? Because I believe what you said. The Oakland A's.
Yes.
Who are now 10 games over .500. Pretty spunky, spunky little team that's in the playoff picture, especially if they catch fire here and, you know, could affect what happens in terms of the wild card with, you know, what happens here with the Red Sox and the Yankees going forward. This A's team, like, in theory, I would think, Matt, they're going to want to add. But will they? The Oakland A's? This, you know, like, that's a team that if they don't add, that will prove to what you just said.
Yeah. And I could absolutely see them selling at the deadline. I could absolutely see them doing that. But at least the A's have fielded a competitive team this year, and okay, if you sell at the deadline, that's fine. So long as you're not trying to be the Kansas City Royals or the Baltimore Orioles and just stealing all that luxury tax money. That's what teams like Miami and Tampa are doing. They're just pocketing that money. They're not using that money to field a better team, which is the intention of the luxury tax. The owners are just using that tax to line their pockets. Honestly, Jim, you either need to get a salary cap in baseball or a salary floor, or just get rid of the luxury tax altogether. It is not working. It's hurting the game.
617-779-0985. You want to join us here on the Baseball Report? As I promise, we'll get to your calls coming up right after the Hub headlines here with Matt McCarthy. And also, we will touch on David Price's second implosion in a row, this time against Kansas City on Saturday night. And it doesn't sound like David Price is going to be opting out either. We'll get to that and your calls right after this here on the Baseball Reporters, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Baseball Reporters, Tony Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub. This is the Baseball Reporters.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Maserati, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The last five outs recorded by Price have been strikeouts. As Moustakas gets hit. A little bit of a preview into the Red Sox-Yankees rivalry, perhaps, for Mike Moustakas.
Yes, the preemptive strike from David Price.
1-2 on Perez. And that nicked Perez, so he will head down to first, and the Royals have loaded the bases here in the fifth inning. Bases loaded, two outs. Red Sox lead by a run. Third hit batsman of the inning, forcing in the tying run. And that will be all for David Price. After hitting two batters all season long, three in one inning in the span of four batters. Moustakas, Perez, and now Duda.
Gift wrapped. Tie ball game.
Boy, that was something on Saturday night. Now, ultimately, it didn't end up costing the Red Sox because they mashed and they were playing the Orioles. 15-4 was the final on Saturday. But David Price in that fifth inning, wow. Baseball Reporters, Jim Murray in for Tony Maz tonight, 98.5 The Sports Hub. So, in the event you didn't see it, again, it was a beautiful night on Saturday. The humidity finally broke. I don't blame you for being like, I'm good with watching Red Sox Royals here. But the breakdown there that you just heard, the broadcast on Fox, Red Sox up 4-3. David Price comes back, bottom of the fifth. Hayes finally got a lead. Hey, all right. Because it wasn't all that good of a start for him in the first place. But he's finally got a lead. And, okay, so there's a single. And then, as you heard, Price hits Mike Moustakas. Then he hits Salvador Perez. Loaded bases, strikes a guy out, one out away from, oh boy, whew, I'm laboring here, I'm really feeling it, I hope I don't, he hits Lucas Duda and walks in a run. Three hit batsmen in the inning. I know I've never seen that, and I'm obviously a David Price detractor. You listen to Felger and Maz, or when I filled in here, there's no surprise there. I do the goofy impersonation, Matt McCarthy. $30 million a year for what? Doesn't feel like you're getting much, especially when he melts down in the biggest games against the Yankees and in the playoffs. But he at least can look like an ace against, you know, some of these terrible teams that the Red Sox are playing time and time again. Your Orioles, your Rays, so on and so forth. Your Kansas City Royals. No. It's now two games in a row. And the Yankee game last, you know, the prior Sunday was just, that was, you know, I don't even think it's arguable. It was his worst start considering the stakes and a primetime game against your rival that you're going to be neck and neck with between now and October. That was his worst start as a member of the Red Sox. To follow it up with this, McCarthy, like, there's a real legitimate concern now. Like, they got to get this guy to a sports psychologist or something, because while his stuff isn't what it was even a couple of years ago, it's still there. The talent's there. There's a mental issue clearly going on with this player. That was unbelievable in that fifth inning on Saturday.
I've never seen it so obvious when, like, a player can't just mentally handle it. You watch him on the mound. He starts tugging the jersey. He starts huffing and puffing like the big bad wolf. Oh, there are two runners in scoring position. And, you know, like when Henry Rowengartner gets in the box in Rookie of the Year. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You can see that going through David Price's mind.
Right.
There's a runner in scoring position. Runner on there. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Hits a guy. That's exactly what happens. Yankee Stadium. Everybody's watching me tonight. It's Sunday Night Baseball. I'm going to tug on my jersey a little bit. Fastball, home run. It's unbelievable. believable. Like, have you ever seen a professional athlete where you can just read his mind when he's on the mat? You're like, this dude is having a freak out right now.
Daniel Bard comes to mind. Well, I mean, he was a puddle.
Oh, yeah. But it's that type of level where when Price has these moments, you're like, dude, this guy can't handle it.
Yeah, right. It's evident. And it was the same thing in Yankee Stadium, the prior Sunday. So, yeah, look, he's good for business on our end, especially me with the goofy impersonation on Felger and Maz. But I still do want the team to be successful. I don't trust this guy in big games, and I certainly don't trust him in the playoffs. So the way he was going prior to these last two starts, I've started to think, probably foolishly, hey, you know what, maybe he ends up having a really good season, shoves it down my throat and other detractors' throats, and he opts out. Not so fast. John Morosi of MLB.com, tweeting today, asked David Price today about possibility of opting out after this year. He said, quote, I want to win. I want to win here, and I want to win now. We all know the amount of ability we have in this clubhouse. I'm focused on winning right now. I haven't thought about opting out, end quote. He ain't going anywhere. He ain't going anywhere, and he's going to bite the bullet and take more money and be miserable, just like he did when he first came here. Ultimately, he should have went to the St. Louis Cardinals. It's not working here. It's never going to work here. He's not ever going to be happy here. So he'll take the money, because he's certainly not going to get what the Red Sox are going to pay him when he opts in, Matt. And he'll stay here, and he'll continue to be miserable. And, you know, he'll, again, continue to be good for business on our end, but he's going to also make Red Sox fans miserable as well.
Yeah, and there's nothing you can do about it. Really, I mean, and unless you want to eat the entire contract and send him elsewhere, who wants David Price at this point? Not only because he can't handle the big moments, like, okay, if you sent him off to St. Louis, I'm sure he'd be a little bit more effective there. He'd be able to handle that market better. But David Price is now, what, 33 years old? He's going to be trending in the wrong direction. We've already seen it, and, you know, Jones makes a good point. I mean, I have defended David Price, the pitcher, as, you know, not a Cy Young Award winner, but still an effective piece for the Red Sox. His ERA now in a Red Sox uniform is up to 4. His ERA this year is 4.4. Like, you can't defend this guy as an effective pitcher, even a great pitcher for stretches. We've seen him be great in stretches. That's not going to continue to happen. He's going to continue to trend in the wrong direction. This contract is going to be so ugly for them. They can't get out of it for that reason, the money, and just the player and his mentality.
We opened up talking about Dan Shaughnessy's column of the Boston Globe. Red Sox may be red hot, but baseball striking out in every way. How to help the game. I want the shift gone. Maybe at the very least, you limit them. Maybe 3, 5 tops in a game.
Learn to bunt, you left-handed hitters. Yeah, learn to bunt, too. Jackie Bradley Jr., when they put the Williams shift on you. Bunt it. You're a 200 hitter. Bunt it, you loser.
But Rick and Dedham, he is against this. Go ahead, Rick. Make your case, please.
Good evening, guys. How are you?
Good. What's up?
I tuned in and I was aghast when I heard that commentary about eliminating the shift. You're solving the wrong problem. If the biggest problem that's affronting baseball now is the number of strikeouts, make them strike out faster. Open the strike zone. Make them put it in play and make sure pitchers can throw the ball without having to hit something the size of a dinner plate. Everything else ripples off of that. But the idea of saying to a guy, you can't stand over here, now you're putting umpires in the position of being policemen. No, move over. You're solving the wrong problem, guys. That's my commentary.
Thanks, Rick. What about that? So if it's not shifts or limiting shifts, bigger strike zone. I'm for that.
Oh, the caller is so right. Don't eliminate the shift. You have to expand the strike zone. Like, these types of changes have happened in baseball before. 1968, they lowered the mound because Bob Gibson was so dominant.
Right.
You know, we were entering a second dead ball era. They lowered the mound. Expand the strike zone. Swing the bat. It is the easiest change that baseball can make. I don't think baseball needs to make grandiose changes. The pitch clock is probably the most radical I would advocate for. Expand the strike zone. Swing the bat. Move the game along faster. If you expand the strike zone, I think that would be one of the most positive changes you could bring into baseball. And it's easy to do.
We go to Jamie in D.C. Is this my pal, Jamie?
Yes, sir. What's up?
Hey, what's up? How are you?
First of all, man, I just want to say really quickly, over the past week and a half, I know working in the same industry as you, It's you know, there's no days off when you're sick. You really hit it out of the park the last 7 or 10 days here. And McCarthy, you too, man. I listened to you last night. So
thank you. Appreciate it.
You know, good work from you guys.
Oh, well, that's greatly appreciated. Thanks.
Yeah, no worries. As far as the Sox go, you know, I was here at Nats Park last week for two of the three games. And obviously, I believe there's a competition problem. If you hear "Let's go Red Sox" in the visiting ballpark more than 10 times in one game, you know it's an issue.
It sounded like it was loud as hell there, Jamie.
It was very loud. It was loud in Kansas City too over the weekend.
Yeah,
just picking up off the TV broadcast. But you know, like just for me, like you know, I sort of had a lapse in my Red Sox fandom, and I picked back up at the start of the 2013 season. And what really got me energized was some of those, you know, walk-off. I think by August they had like 11 walk-off wins, some of these dramatics. You know, there's just really no exciting, dramatic, fun things that are happening in this season across the league. Just take one of those gutless bums and get into another fight. I mean, like, do something where I can get excited about sitting down and watching a three-hour baseball game. You can make all these arguments about rule changes and whatnot, but right now it's just, you know, it's an easy win and you're out.
Yeah, you know, you make a good case. Maybe that's maybe the most exciting thing that's happened for the Red Sox, just to, even for your casual viewer, or you feels like you're watching it more for work like it is for me at this point, was the Joe Kelly fracas with the Yankees, or Price getting his face ripped off against the Yankees, or Price on Saturday night. It's mostly been, like, negative stuff. Because, like, hey, you know what? Look, Mookie Betts is a pleasure to watch. Same with J.D. Martinez and Xander Bogaerts and his approach this year. It seems like he's got power. Like, that is entertaining. But, yeah, maybe there's... The only other thing that comes to mind that I've truly enjoyed this year in baseball is that ridiculous catch that Broxton kid made in center field for the Brewers, mm-hmm. And his reaction afterwards. It's a sport that's kind of devoid. It's of talent too, and that's the drain on talent. And all these teams that are tanking or whatever the hell that they're doing or just being cheap, like the Marlins or Tampa. Like, there's no reason to tune in. There was a point in my life that I would watch out-of-market games. Now, oh, God, please, highlights only. There's no way I'm doing that.
Yeah, there's a lot of high-end talent in the game, and baseball has failed to market those stars, like Mike Trout is the perfect mm-hmm. example. Mookie Betts, electrifying player. I don't think, does anybody outside of Boston like know who Mookie Betts is? No. There's a lot of high-end talent that baseball has failed to market. Sure, the competition is a problem, but market the stars. Mike Trout is historically good. Like, this guy is... on the path to be one of the greatest players ever. Nobody knows, nobody cares. Get him out of Los Angeles, please.
So it's 62-29, again, best team in Major League Baseball, coming off a 9-game road trip, which they finished 7-2. Greg in Lincoln, what do you think of those 62 wins? Am I wrong to have a wee bit of an asterisk on them?
Hey, guys, you know, I really want to take this victory lap. I'm the best team in baseball, 2 games up on the Yankees, and I look at them and I'm like, how did we get here? You know, you have David Price, who can't hit the side of a Fortnite barn, and you have Jackie Bradley Jr., who every other pitch is swinging a pop-up. And, you know, I just want to get your opinion. Do you think it's pitching that got him here? Do you think it's hitting? You know, you mentioned Mookie, Xander, and J.D. Martinez. You know, those are the 3 obvious points. But I just want to see what makes this the best team in baseball right now.
Well, I think it's 3 things. I mean, it's the... You have 2 pitchers that have been lights out pretty much mostly for the first half of the season, and that's Chris Sale and Eduardo Rodriguez. I mean, there was a stretch that they didn't lose any game. Even if he had shaky starts, and couldn't get past like the 5th or 6th inning. Sale, Rodriguez, Price for a stretch too, if I'm being fair. The offense has been, you know, completely different than last year because they have legitimate power thanks to J.D. Martinez and yet another MVP-esque season from Mookie Betts. But Martinez, I couldn't have been more wrong on. Congratulations to those of you that wanted him, and Red Sox brass, you made the right call on this guy. So it's that, coupled with the fact that everyone else stinks except the Astros and the Yankees. The Astros stays, and why don't I have it on the Yankees? Well, the Astros, look, the Astros, I'm not putting it on because they're the reigning World Series champions, so I'm just not doing that. I'm the one that doles out the Astros. The Yankees? In terms of record against better competition, they're better than you. That they're better than the Red Sox. That's why they don't get an asterisk, even though they're playing some of the same dregs of the league.
The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz, 98.